A few years ago, I had the privilege of attending Les Mis at the Fulton. I was really impressed by the dramatic presentation. The music was powerful, it was inspiring, and the staging was very creatively designed. Pit Orchestra included some fantastic musicians, and I really enjoyed it because a couple of them were my friends. My heart and my emotions were deeply drawn in, and although the primary goal was to entertain me, it actually was a spiritual experience as I watched and listened to the performance. When we come together to a worship service, there are some similar but different aspects compared to watching a play or a musical. A worship service has a specific goal, to draw us in to be near to God and to connect with Him in deeper ways. The service becomes a journey into an encounter with the Lord Himself. And when we gather to worship, praise, and thank the Lord, those of us on the platform are really just the prompters to encourage you and others to join in participating. You are actually the performers. Well, not in the sense of performing for God to get His approval or His attention, but for all of us to engage and to respond to what's being sung and said and read in the service. We need to understand that God is the audience. I like to think of God taking the church roof off and looking at us corporately as we worship Him. That mental picture kind of personally challenges me to engage in and stay focused on what's happening in the service. The scriptures provide many reasons and examples of why and how to worship God. David wrote many of the themes of the Psalms and lots of themes of praise and worship. And those ancient manuscripts became the Hebrew hymnal, and the words are still highly relevant and applicable to us today. Although we don't know the original music, we do have the texts. They express the full range of emotions, including sorrow, joy, loneliness, celebration, despair, and thanksgiving. And when we read and pray the various psalms, they give us words to express our emotions back to the Lord, however we're feeling. Psalm 100 is one of my favorite scriptures. It's expressive, impressive, and filled with action verbs. I memorized it when I was a kid in elementary school. The beginning of this short chapter is a call to praise the Lord. It concludes with an explanation of the reasons for that worship. Let's read it together in full voice. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, and praise His name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. David shares five primary directives regarding where we are to place our focus when we worship the Lord. The commands to embrace are worship, come, acknowledge, enter, and give. So let's break each one down for greater understanding. The first one, shout to the Lord, all the earth. The first directive is to shout. It tells us what to do and how to do it. This is an invitation for the world to boldly and loudly exclaim God as their great creator. It's a shout of loyalty, of reverence, and respect. The whole world is to recognize the Lord for what He has done for His people. In Psalm 19, 1 and 2, it declares, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they continue to make Him known." When I was in middle school, I was fascinated by the different kinds of clouds. I learned about the differences between the cumulus, the cirrus, the stratus, and the nimbus formations. It's fun sometimes to view the different shapes and say what the figures remind us of, like a bird, an animal, or maybe an angel. When Cindy and I moved here to Pennsylvania almost 15 years ago, I was thrilled to see the colorful sunsets. And I'm always amazed and I never tire of seeing God's unique finger paintings. The Lord embraces loud praise expressed from our lips and our hearts. It anticipates heaven. In fact, in the book of Revelation chapter 5, the apostle John records what he saw about future worship. He marveled at the vision. He said, I looked, I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne of the living beings and elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Psalm 150 boldly asserts, praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. You can really sense the energy, the excitement, and the call to unified participation in those verses. God is indeed worthy of our exuberant praise with our voices and our instruments. What has begun on earth will be continued in heaven. The second command in Psalm 100 is to worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. One of the best definitions of worship is from Warren Wiersbe, who explains, worship is the believer's response of all that he is, mind, emotions, will, and body, to all that God is and says and does. God desires us to praise him with gladness and joy-filled songs, and singing is a constant way of coming before him. Dan Will explains the insight, stating, worship is impressive more primarily than being expressive. In other words, worship is intended to form us, shape us, intensely impress us, and indelibly imprint us with the story of God, the love of God, the hope of God, and the gifts of God to us in the past and in the now. We express our praise and gratitude to him, and he impresses the mold of Christ into our lives to become more fashioned and shaped into his image. The third directive in Psalm 100, acknowledge the Lord is God. He made us, we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Our worship must be intelligent. We ought to know whom we worship and why. The Lord is perfect, self-existent, and self-sufficient. We recognize the origin of who created us. We couldn't make ourselves. He made all things out of nothing. Everything is entirely his. All things rely on him and are sustained by him. Therefore, we are his. To acknowledge or know something means to consider and seriously apply it. We affirm he is God alone, and we prove our knowledge by trust, submission, and love. The exhortation is to submit to the Lord with obedient hearts. And this portion of the song calls us to offer ourselves to God, recognizing and humbly accepting that we are not our own. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, Paul says, you do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. This understanding leads us to joyful praise and gladness and singing. The next mandate is to enter his gates with thanksgiving and go into his courts with praise. The gates and courts were those of the Old Testament temple. Have you ever seen a door with impressive carvings? One of the things that Cindy and I enjoy doing sometimes is to visit old mansion homes. And often the front doors are impressively decorated with intricate handmade craftsmanship of animals, flowers, or maybe some imaginary figures. God gives all of us a grand invitation to enter his presence by coming before him with thanksgiving and praise. It's appropriate that we come before him with humble and grateful spirits, but we don't have to enter his presence timidly. No one is excluded, so come on in with a joy-filled heart. There is a general progression in a worship service. Thanksgiving and praise move us into his presence. Worship occurs while we are before him. Thanksgiving is simply expressing gratitude to God for who he is and what he's done. It begins as an attitude, but it must eventually show itself as an action. The final command is give thanks to him and praise his name. We primarily express thanks for what God has done, such as having good health and for his daily provisions. We're consciously aware of how he consistently provides for us. And when we recount his goodness, we're giving him our best adoration. As long as we are receivers of mercy, we must be givers of thanks. We praise him when he gives things to us, as well as when he takes things away from us. Paul urges us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And David concludes the psalm by providing two focused reasons why we are to shout, worship, acknowledge, enter, and give thanks. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. God is the source and perfect example of goodness. It refers to him as morally excellent, kind, and benevolent. His desire and will is the best for us as a compassionate father whose love never ends. God is good and he loves you. It is his love that is the source of our love. The Apostle John states, we love because he first loved us. In the parable of the prodigal son recorded in Luke 15, Jesus emphasizes God the Father's extended arms to welcome us home. No matter what we've done, God is always there to embrace us, to forgive us, especially in our times of deepest fears, our heartaches, and needs. Why? Because of his unfathomable, overflowing love for you and for me. It helps us to come to resemble the one whose sacrificial love for us endures forever. That's why worship is not only expressive, but also impressive. The Apostle Paul reveals to us in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We express our praise and gratitude to him, and he impresses the mold of Christ into our lives to become more fashioned and shaped into his image. We encounter God for our own spiritual formation, for our enlightenment with his truth, and for our renewal in hope. Let's take a moment to be still, to reflect, and to thank God for his everlasting love. Will you be bold enough to ask him to show you how he can impact and mold your life today to become more like Christ? Let's take a moment of silent prayer. Spirit of God, we come once again to express our worship to you as individuals and also as a body of believers. We recognize your deep work in each and every one of our lives. We say yes to you shaping and forming us into your likeness by engaging with scripture, music, our words, and our worship actions. Thank you for your word, which is alive, gives us daily direction and hope. We are grateful that you welcome us, hear us, comfort us, and indwell us. In Jesus' name. Impressive, praiseworthy name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing about God's amazing love.
So I don't know about you, but 2020 has been a pretty crazy year for me. Yet despite the constant change, just like we sang, God is faithful. If 2020 has been teaching me anything so far, it's been to trust in that reality, even when the world around me may be full of chaos. The last time we gathered together physically on a Sunday morning without needing to wear masks or needing to stay 6 feet away from each other was almost 6 months ago on March 8th. At that point, most of us had heard of the virus and there was some growing concern, but I don't think we all anticipated what was going to happen. I actually drove home to Virginia to visit my parents for their birthday. Yes, they do share the same birthday, but on different years. And then quarantine happened, and my life got flipped upside down for a bit. I ended up staying with my family in Virginia for almost 3 months. As a society and individually for many of us, 2020 has been a year filled with loss and anxiety. The loss of what once was a fairly consistent routine. The loss of plans that were made months or weeks prior, small plans, big plans. The loss of freely hugging a friend or giving a high five or a handshake without being afraid of possibly spreading something. The loss of sports, although many of them are back, but not all of them, and not in the same way we enjoyed them 6 months ago. The loss of jobs or having a prom or an in-person graduation ceremony. The loss of loved ones. Most of our lives have gotten really shaken up this year, and we've been thrown into a completely new routine or a new way of doing life. It's been a year where one's flexibility has truly been tested. In addition to all the losses, there's been tons of anxiety and tons of fear for the future. What is life going to look like in 6 months? What's going to happen in November? Sure, the COVID numbers are going down right now, but what about 2-3 weeks from now? It's easy to get caught up in that way of thinking and to become consumed by it, to get stuck in the cycle of what ifs, to look at all the loss and pain and feel like God's forgotten us, to look at the state of our country and to wonder if he still cares. I realize that the season has been challenging for many of us, and you might not feel like giving God your highest praise this morning. You might be at a place where things are really hard and God feels distant. But thoughts aren't necessarily truths, and feelings aren't necessarily facts. Isaiah 43 says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel." And from Joshua, God reminds us, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Jesus even says in Matthew, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Despite everything we face this year and everything to come, God is faithful. Whether you sensed it or not, he has walked with you through all of it and will continue to do so. For thousands of years, God has been in the business of taking messy, sticky situations and bringing light and life out of them. He's still doing that today. 2020 has been a mess for sure, but God has still brought out light and life through the mess. Over the 3 months I was home, there were definitely some rough spots. It had been a very long time since my family had been together for that long, and naturally some arguments would break out here and there. Additionally, my grandfather, who had Alzheimer's for roughly 7 years, passed away, which was a tough hit. However, even though messy and hard, God brought life and light out of that situation. My grandfather was a Christ follower and a lover of music. So near the end, my family started having worship gatherings by his bed, which was crazy hard, but also crazy beautiful. Even after he passed, we kept the tradition of worshiping together, which proved to be really healing and restorative for us. Those 3 months were not pretty, and I can honestly say my family's come out of it so much closer and stronger than we were before. And that's all thanks to God's Spirit. Similarly, due to the virus, we've had to do church here a bit differently, which is challenging, but it hasn't stopped us from being the church. This whole experience has encouraged us to be the church in new and different ways. We now use live stream so we can worship together in person and online. Additionally, I think many of us have a greater appreciation for how special gathering together is. For 3 months, we didn't see your faces or hear your voices. I still remember that first time we got back together, and Brian welcomed you all and asked everyone here to say a big good morning to everyone watching on the live stream. And as soon as I heard your voices, I got this big rush of emotion because it'd been that long. It was crazy. And by the way, in case you're wondering, if you don't feel confident in your singing voice, please know that hearing you all sing together for God is one of my favorite things in the whole world. So I'm really thankful that we're able to gather together in person and online. I'm thankful that kids' ministries are back, and most of all, I'm thankful that coffee's back. 2020 has definitely been a challenge, but God's been so faithful and so good to us throughout all of it. No matter what life throws at us, because of who God is, what he's done, and what he's promised to do, he's so worthy of our worship. Dan read a bit of this in his talk earlier, but I'm going to read some more of this scripture from Revelation 5. "Then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne, and of the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and they sang, "Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living beings said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb. Please stand and let's join in with heaven in worshiping our Creator.